In the holy name of Jesus, today we meditate on our gospel reading. A man comes up to Jesus with what seems to be a simple request, and Jesus just lights this guy up. I mean, at first you want to be sympathetic for this guy, right? He just wants his fair share. Maybe his brother's stiffing him on the inheritance that's rightfully his. I don't know if your brother was trying to keep something away from you under the table and maybe you had legal action that could be taken, would you sue him? But why do that when you can just have Jesus solve your problems? My brother will listen to Jesus, he must have thought. But Jesus will not even touch this request. To understand why Jesus won't give this guy what he wants, we need to look further back in our text. Now, I love the pericope system, the system of readings that we have from week to week. It's great. But sometimes it doesn't give us everything we need to know. That's why some people might say the Bible is better read all the way through. At least read a whole book. At least read a whole chapter. You get the whole story. You know how important it is to keep the context in mind, right? You watch TV. You know how important it is to keep the storyline in your mind. If it's been too long since you watched the last episode, and you try to sit down and watch this one, you might have forgotten some things that happened. Who's the bad guy? Who's the good guy? What's going on? And so the writers give you this clever little thing right before every episode. What is it? Previously on Sherlock, NCIS, whatever it is you're watching. And I think we need a refresher for today's text in order to make sense of what's going on here. And so since you asked for it, I give to you, previously on the Gospel of Luke, we see Jesus coming into the synagogue, and he's reading from the scroll of Isaiah, and he's saying, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, to proclaim good news to the poor, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Previously on the Gospel of Luke, we see Jesus coming through all of Israel, healing the sick, casting out demons, raising the dead, giving forgiveness of sins. Previously on the Gospel of Luke, we see him talking about this thing called the coming kingdom of God. Previously on the Gospel of Luke, we see Jesus saying, if anyone would follow me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily. Whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Previously on the Gospel of Luke, Jesus tells Martha, it's better to listen than to be so busy. Previously on the Gospel of Luke, Jesus says, how much more will your Father give to you the Holy Spirit when you ask him? And previously on the Gospel of Luke, in our very own chapter 12, sorry it didn't make it in today's episode, but we have Jesus saying, don't fear the one who, when he kills you, can't do anything about your soul. But fear the one who, when you are dead, can cast you into hell. And don't worry about what you will say in times of persecution, for the Holy Spirit will give you the words to say. There. You're now ready to watch the episode. You have everything that you need in mind. And it's with this previously on that we can see what an utter blockhead this dude is for asking his question. Right, Jesus has come to bring something spiritual. He's talking about the coming kingdom of God. He's dealing with people and their real life or death problems, and he's fixing them, healing the sick, casting out demons, raising people from the dead. It doesn't get much worse than that. He's talking about the coming of this Holy Spirit. And maybe that would have been a good line of questioning for this guy to go on. Maybe he was kind of uncertain about that. But instead, he comes up to Jesus and says, Jesus, can you help me get my stuff? And if I'm Jesus at this point, I'm just like, are you kidding me right now? Is this guy for real over here? I can't take it. All right, we're bumping up the ascension early. I'm going back from whence I came. We're going to hash this out, and we're going to rethink how salvation works because I don't know if human interaction is the way. But I'm not Jesus, and it didn't happen that way. But just think about it. I'm going to list you six things. Which one is the least important as far as the meaning of life goes? You've got forgiveness of sins, healing of the sick, casting out demons, raising from the dead, the coming kingdom of God, and getting my stuff. It's obvious, right? It's obvious. On August 24th, 79 AD, Mount Vesuvius erupted in what I think is now probably one of the most iconic natural disasters in the history of the world. Thousands of people perished in the nearby cities in the aftermath of the eruption, whether it be from falling debris, collapsing houses, poisonous gases, or lava flows. And the lava and soot covered over entire cities, leaving them virtually untouched until modern archaeology came around. And now that it has, the ruined city of Pompeii has become one of the most popular archaeological sites to see. Why is this? It's because when disaster comes, and we look down and we dig deep, we can see what life really looked like at that time. Because disaster catches people off guard. It doesn't give much time for running away, and it doesn't give much time, important to archaeologists, for taking your stuff with you. And yet, among the remains of those who were fleeing from the ruined city of Pompeii, we find a few rich people. And we see them holding on to their jewels and their jewelry, people with gold and silver, figurines and statues, people with all kinds of treasure. And I have no doubt that as the fog got thicker, as the debris rained a little harder, as the gases started catching up to them, that they realized just how dire their situation was and just how little their treasures could do for them. That very day, their lives were required of them, and their treasures could do nothing for them. This too is vanity, no? We live under a volcano too, do you know that? Despite increases in technology, despite rising standards of living, despite increase in general life expectancy, our world is still volatile and unpredictable. Your world could be turned upside down in a moment's notice, and one day it will be turned upside down. Mount Vesuvius didn't erupt out of nowhere, believe it or not. There were warning signs. There were earthquakes and tremors the day before. Guess they didn't understand what was going on. We have warning signs in our lives too, right? Failing health, near-death experiences, injury, sickness. And don't you know that the worst is still yet to come? One day you will die. And then what will become of your stuff, your gold and your jewels? It'll go on to somebody else. You won't be able to take it with you. Here's our problem, guys. Our problem is that we confess Jesus Christ to be our Lord and Savior, and still we place far too much of an emphasis on our material possessions. Jesus came to bring a spiritual kingdom. He came to bring forgiveness, life, and salvation. Give us the Holy Spirit, resurrection from the dead. And we want our stuff. Sure, we don't ask Jesus for our stuff. We know that's not what he's about. But we sure do work with our own two hands trying to get our stuff day in and day out. Get the things that are going to make us happy. Every day worshiping at the altar of stuff. Meanwhile, forgetting to ask Jesus for the stuff that he promises to so richly give to us. But you might say, hey, I believe in Jesus. I trust in him for my salvation. I know he'll forgive me my sins and take me to heaven when I die. And I say, that's a great confession. I like it. But what I would say to it is, live like that now. Live like that now. You see, this life, this short time that we get, is a blip on the timeline of eternity. And when we dedicate ourselves to our stuff, we actually make a faithless confession with our actions. We make it seem like we don't believe that there's something after this, that this life is all that there is. But that's what the world says. They're trying to lull us to sleep with that kind of garbage. Wake up. This life is not all there is. YOLO, they say. You only live once. Not true. We know that in Christ we will live again, and that that life will be much better than anything we could ever win for us here with our own two hands. Brothers and sisters, admittedly, this is a tough reading that we're assigned. Pastor Cale said, "This is the gospel of the Lord," and we're like, "Praise to you, O Christ. This is the gospel." I admit it. There is not much gospel in this text. But the gospel comes in the previously on the gospel of Mark. The gospel is the healing, the raising, the forgiveness, the coming kingdom, the Holy Spirit. It's all that stuff. It's the promises of Jesus. And these are promises that will last forever. They're promises that will last past death, that you can hold to in your last hours of life, that you don't have to worry about being vanity of vanities. And it's in these promises that you can find peace and contentment right now. The other way of thinking, there is no peace and contentment. No, that's a life of striving after the things you want, even the things you need. Right? It's a slow uphill climb through that way of thinking. You're crawling and you're crawling for the things that you think are going to make you happy, the ways to get your best life now. And if you ever do get so lucky to reach the top, to get what you think is your best life now, what is it but a quick downward spiral? Failing health, loss of friends, loss of family, loss of life. Bummer. But in Christ, living in His promises, you actually get the chance to live your best life now. And I'm not talking about some sort of prosperity gospel, name it and claim it, everything is going to go right for you, but I'm talking about living in the hope of the resurrection before you're ever raised. Living right now as if you've been raised from the dead, because you don't have to fear death anymore. If this life is all there is, then by all means, I say, chase after the wind. Strive after the treasures and pleasures that this world has to offer. But if the words and promises of Jesus are true, what is the world to you? Christ is your Savior in calm and in strife. Death cannot hold you, for He is the life. Neither darkness nor doubting nor sin and its stain can touch your salvation. With Him, you will reign. Believe this. Believe this. Now, at this point, it seems like the sermon should probably be wrapping up. But I've got a little bit more for you, because the question still remains. Jesus gave us a task in our lesson. He said, take care to guard against greed. And you might be wondering, okay, preacher man, I get it. I'm supposed to trust in Jesus, but how do I guard against that greed? The world's telling me so different. Good question. Glad you asked. Guarding against greed takes diligence, and it takes practice. And the first thing I'd say to do to practice against greed is to practice asking the right questions. The man in our text, what was his problem? He asked for the wrong things. You know you can still ask Jesus for things, though, right? It's called praying. It's a gift of God. So I say, ask for those things which He will give you. You know that long list that I've said about six times in the sermon already? Those things. It's what the Apostle Paul says in the first verse of our reading. If you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above. Ask Him for forgiveness. Ask Him for the Holy Spirit. Ask Him to come again in glory. And another thing to practice against greed. If greed is being rich toward yourself, maybe try to do the opposite every now and then. Try to be rich toward God. Practice being rich toward others. Here's a good question to ask. Lord, how do I show my gratitude to you after you've done so much good for me? Short answer is love Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And that's tough, guys. And so maybe while the world is pulling you in every which way, every other direction, you lift this up in prayer to Him as well. And you say, Lord God, everything that I have is yours. My time, my talents, my treasures. Help me to worship not these, the gifts, but you, the giver. Help me to put my fear, love, and trust in you. Help me to give you a portion, just as you have so graciously given to me. Amen. And in this way, you tend to your giving. You tend to your stewardship. And you trust in the promises of Jesus and everything that you know he will give to you. You look to those things that he has previously said, that gospel message. Previously on the Gospel of Luke, ask and you shall receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open unto you. Amen.